Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Ring, ring, hey, ring, Scott. Ring. Hey, Aaron, I'm on my phone.
So you led a Twitter chat, and I'm really excited that I get to interview you.
Well, most people are pretty excited to interview me.
We've done this before. Like, we've done the interview thing before. Yeah. And so I'm going to try and change up the questions
a little bit this time.
Is that okay?
Ask a question I don't know the answer to.
Okay. You have to know the answer.
Oh, dang it.
Let's go ahead and do some of the normal ones. All What's your name and job title?
My name is Scott Hazelwood. I'm currently the Director of Instructional Technology at the University of Science and Arts in Chickasha.
And from, like, start to finish, not like, I mean, you're still going, but how long have you been in the biz of education?
I started in the classroom at Guthrie High School teaching world history in August 1997.
Whoa, I did not know about world history. Yep. When did you get to switch into the mathy stuff?
Year two.
Okay. So you were just like filling a hole year one.
So my journey into the classroom is kind of fun. I got this history education degree, right? Because I thought history was really interesting. Like, I am legitimately fascinated by history.
Dude, your degree isn't in math?
No. No.
Oh my, like, I'm learning all kinds of things about you right now.
So I also didn't really want to coach anything, and I didn't want to be that coach who taught history because, you know, that's where the coaches go, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And having said that, there are some fabulous coaches that are no worse or better than other people that teach. Like, yes, correct. There's some crap classroom coaches, but there's also some crap classroom teachers. I mean, you know, anyways. Right. So I didn't really want to coach, and I'm looking around and I'm like, man, I don't know if I'll be able to find a history job and not coach. I don't want to coach. So I graduated in December of 1995 with a history education degree, and in January 1996, I started working on a second bachelor's degree for math education, and I had it approved where I wouldn't have to do the student teaching because I'd already done student teaching.
Right. Awesome.
So I get however many hours into that. So I started in 96, so I went to school all of 96, spring, summer, fall, and then in 97, I went spring, summer, and I had enrolled in fall, and I had taken enough math classes to get certified. So I only needed, like, I think 12 more hours to finish a second bachelor's degree. And I got a phone call at work, and I worked at Coca-Cola down by the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. And I got a phone call on my private line, and it was the principal from Guthrie High School, and he said, hey, we pulled your resume from a stack that we got from Central Oklahoma. We would like for you to come interview for a history position tomorrow. So I didn't even apply for the job. I didn't apply for it.
Serious?
They called me. So how does that happen? Here I am, a history teacher. There's 1,000 of them out there. And they called me for the, and I went and interviewed, and I had a teaching job by the end of the week.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so
that's a totally awesome story.
So I think I was the last teacher hired that year, because when I got hired, the day I was hired, in service started like the next day.
Scott, I did not realize how much older you are than me. You're old.
We've talked about this a lot. You knew how much
I know. I did. I just wanted to say it again.
we've mentioned it more.
Is that the middle
more
finger
than
you're
once?
Giving me right now? Sorry, just kidding. Okay.
So yeah, that so that's how I got into teaching.
Awesome story.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And then guess what? I ended up coaching soccer, and I really didn't want to. But in like October, the athletic director came down, and he's like, "We really need a soccer coach for the boys." I go, all right, let me talk to the missus about it and see what Jasmine says. And and then that became something that I started doing, and I always had sort of imagined I would fall into basketball at some point, but I fell into soccer and just loved
soccer. Did you know anything about soccer?
Hey, I knew that there were 11 guys on the field and that you had to score more goals than the other person. Yeah.
Okay.
I was a little hazy with offsides.
Okay.
But I think 99% of the world is hazy with offsides. So that started my whole journey, and then, you know, I taught for 3 years in Guthrie High School. I taught 1 year of world history, 2 years of math, coached boys soccer all 3 years. Went to Kansas City and taught at Olathe South High School for 5 years, and coached boys and girls soccer there. And then came back to Oklahoma and taught at Edmond Memorial and coached girls soccer there. So,
wow.
Won a state title, had two and had a state runners up on that journey with soccer. So it was just, it was fun. I was blessed.
So what were your intentions with this chat?
Well, so one of the things I wanted to talk about in this chat was, as teachers, we're always told research says this, research says that. And a lot of times as teachers, mm-hmm. we have a hard time like actually going to the legitimate research, you know.
Right.
We would say we heard at a conference that somebody said that this person indicated that research said this thing. And teachers have the capability to do research in our class.
Of course.
And that doesn't demean it. And because it's being done by a teacher, it doesn't make it any less important than research that is done by college professors or doctoral students.
Sure.
It's equally as important and equally as valuable. It just is done in a different way. So I just wanted to plant a nugget with our teachers that you can do this research in your classroom, and it can be legitimate, and it can actually help you with problem solving, and it can actually help you identify things in your class that will help you grow as a teacher. So
that's a great intention.
So the whole deal with teacher action research is, and there was a variety of things. I didn't want to tilt the mood one way or the other with a specific definition, but there was a lot of things that were some. You know, the first question was, how would you define teacher action research? And there was a lot of things. But here's what teacher action research is in a super clean nutshell. And
okay.
I'm sure some people will disagree with sort of what I'm going to say, but the general gist is there. One, you identify a problem in your classroom that you want to know more about. Two, you develop a way to look into that problem and examine it.
Okay.
You take good care to collect the data, to document what you see, and only what you see, which can be a challenge sometimes. Don't infer what you don't see, things like that. And then you report out on it, and you share what you found with others. There really is just a small handful of steps. Now, I think on the last slide of my chat, I had 5 steps that you can take for action research in your classroom. And this is a legitimate... this could be done as a team. In fact, it helps if you do it with somebody. Like, you both agree to do this thing in your classes at the same time so that you can help each other out. But you just need to consistently, methodically go through and note down what you've got going on your classes and how it's sorting itself out and all that kind of stuff. And then you have to share what you discover. So it's... I don't know. It's a good process.
Research.
Yeah, it is. It's research on your classroom. It's legit research on your class. And Deborah Thornton said, you know, this is a lot like how the National Board Certification is organized now. But it's important.
So where do you think teachers stop? I mean, I think teachers are regularly identifying problems in their mm-hmm. classroom and looking at ways to overcome it. Do you think that's where they stop?
Yes, because what we're doing is we're looking at data. We're like, oh my gosh, how can I teach this lesson better next year? Let me look at my data. Let me look at this. Let me look at that. Let's have a PLC meeting. Let's do, and they, you know, it's like all these different things happen, but none of it is systematically collected and identified to put together to share out later. It's it's notes made that I can make these improvements I can make next year.
So did you have a favorite question or one that you were like, I I want to see what people do here, you know, or was there one that in particular you thought you were just going to get good information on?
No, I just wanted to, I was trying to ask questions that could help teachers see the variety of ideas they had in their classrooms.
Okay.
And even for administrators can do this in their buildings too. I mean, it's not just teachers in the classrooms. Administrators can do it building wide with their faculty. You know, like this practice that I think is so important, is it really? And so I didn't have a favorite question in that way. And I was trying to think, remember when Talania on her one chat, she had like five questions and she posted them all at once?
Yeah.
You remember that? And she sort of just...
And it was just kind of a slow chat.
Yeah, and it was like a slow chat. And I mean, still, there was a ton of... In like every 10 minutes, she would post all the four questions again, and it was the same four. I almost did something like that, but I didn't know if sort of how I was trying to get people to legitimately think on a specific practice, just one, that they wanted to know more about in their classroom,
right,
or one problem. So I didn't know if that would work or not, but...
I liked it, and I methodically picked some answers. You might see that based on, you know, trying to follow the data or follow a thought process.
Right.
So I picked answers differently.
And I'm fairly certain this was a low tweet chat.
Yeah,
because I think the questions were just really thought provoking, and a lot of those questions were hard to put into a, you know, 240 character tweet. And I get that the purpose was to jiggle something in the brain to go, I want to know more about why I'm doing this. I've been told this thing is good. The research says this thing is good. Whose research is that? Well, now it's going to be mine. You don't even need to go back and do like good old-fashioned literature review, or you don't need to go and read 18 books about a thing. Get an action research book off of Amazon. Let it sort of be your guide. That's really the only reading that you need to do. And then just examine your practice.
Were there any of the things people identified that you were like, ooh, that would actually be fun to research, or ooh, I might want to research that? Well, like, were there any tweets on what people would invest their time in that you thought, you know what, I might invest my time in that as well?
I didn't see anything that appealed directly to me as for what I do. But I saw the most amazing ideas though. Like, there were administrators that had great ideas. There were kindergartner teachers that had great ideas. There were, I mean, from the whole spectrum, like almost everything that touches the education, there were these just super, super amazing ideas. And I think it would be great if there was a way that we could do something like that and put it together in some sort of collection. I don't know. I don't even know how to go about shepherding people that direction. But anyway. But there were great ideas. We have the most amazing educators that participate in the Okla Ed chat.
I agree with you.
And they shared some brilliant stuff.
So, like... What are you into right now? Have you gotten a new board game and or played a new game? Are you into a new game?
So we've got a couple more board games coming for Christmas. Santa Claus has been notified and has
hashtag spoiler alert.
And has signaled that he shall provide these board games. I think one of them is called Terraforming Mars.
Okay.
It looks pretty interesting. We also we are still heavy rotation with Mansions of Madness, and that game is so cool. It's got an app that helps you manage the game. We have enjoyed that so much. We've bought it comes with two or three free games, and then inside the app you can buy more, you know, quote unquote games. We've bought all the ones that we can get for the set we've got. So we also have coming to us another an expansion pack.
An expansion.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
Yeah. So the board games are, they're there. They're fun.
In full effect.
Yeah.
Okay. So what, is there anything in the education world that you're looking into or new or something exciting that, I mean, especially in the ed tech world, like, is there anything that you're finding new and that you're like, I got to push this out to my students?
I haven't really had a chance to dive into the most recentest you know, cutting edge ed tech stuff. But what I
what do you use more often?
What do you mean? What do I use more often?
Like, if you get a class in front of you and you're like, oh my gosh, you guys have got to use. If there's anything you use, it's got to be, what is it?
I don't have that. Tell me what
at
you're
all?
You just no. You got to give me a situation. I'll tell you what. You give me a situation. you give me a situation. I'll give you a platform. For example, I think PictoChart is really cool, and I think Canva.com is really cool. Those are both digital designing platforms, sort of infographic-y / slideshowy sort of things. And I like PictoChart because my daughter a couple years ago had to create the life cycle of water, or whatever. It's not a life cycle of water, but the water cycle. And mm-hmm. she had to do a thing. And I go, Marin, why don't we use PictoChart to do this? And I just got her started. Like, I opened up my account for her. I said, here's how you add things. Here's how you search for images. And she dove into that. She had the coolest water cycle chart. And she put all her little definitions in there. And so she enjoyed that so much that this year she had to make she came home from school and she said, Dad, I have to make an Amazon book cover for the book I just read. And I don't want to do it on a sheet of paper that my teacher gave me. I want to do it in PictoChart. I said, all right. So she did it in PictoChart and her teacher was like, oh my gosh, this is great. It's simple enough for younger students to use, you know, like maybe third grade-ish and up. And they can have a fun thing. So,
all right. Yeah. So, PictoChart and Canva.
Yeah, and Canva.
And there are tons of tutorials on YouTube on how to use both of those.
Oh yeah.
Like if you want to look into it, get on YouTube and check it out.
Right, and
plus they're also pretty easy just to dive into.
Right, and it just provides a different way to do stuff than a PowerPoint. So I don't know. So those are a couple things that I'm enjoying right now. And I don't know. I'm a couple years ago, I was super fascinated with sketchnoting.
Yes.
And
I got into that pretty hardcore too.
I would really like to do some sort of researchy thing into sketchnoting. So, a couple of researchy ideas that I'm working with some other people on trying to further flesh out. One of them is sketchnoting, but that's going to have to sit for a little while. That's fairly new-ish, so I don't know what we could get out of that. But the other one that I'm fascinated by is people who lurk on educational Twitter chats.
You've been into that for a while.
Yeah. I really want to know more about the person that lurks. Like, what are you doing with what you see? Why don't you participate? Not in an accusatory tone, just in a, you know, you read every chat transcript. So,
right.
So what is that doing for you in your classroom? How is that impacting you? Why don't you participate? Just as a curiosity, because I think that there's power in what happens in some of these educational chats. There's great ideas that exchange places. And so if I'm not actively in that, do I still get the same benefit from the idea?
Right. Were you ever able to get a hold of anybody at Twitter to find out more about that? How do you dive into that?
I don't know. There's another graduate student. Well, he was a graduate student at the time. He's recently finished his PhD too. But he's the one. He was on a team that looked at all the state hashtags, and they did a study on all the state hashtags. Wow, bless you. That was a great.
That was, I muted it.
You did. I heard nothing. And so I had a conversation with him and we asked, because he has some questions about lurking too, and he said we got close enough where we just couldn't get what we needed, and Twitter was sort of closing doors on how they were trying to get that information. Not necessarily hacking, but really trying to scrape through some data. So I don't know how you get it.
All right. What are you reading right now?
So I'm reading a book called I forgot what it's called, but I see the cover. It's written by that one guy.
Oh, I totally know what you're talking about.
You know, it's a book. It's sort of a book on writing. It's called, I forgot.
Okay.
It's sitting on my,
that's fine.
It's sitting on my nightstand.
That's
it's a totally white book.
Fine.
I read it every night for a few minutes. It'll come to me halfway through our conversation about the chat.
It's fine. Do you read fiction ever?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What kind of fiction do you like?
Oh, my gosh. The Robert Jordan Wheel of Time book series. It's the most amazing journey you will ever take. But it will also...
What's it about?
So it's sort of a very involved Hobbit and Fellowship of the Rings type of story. It's got about, I don't know, 24 main characters, thousands of bit players, and it's this journey between the light and the dark, and how there's this constant battle for between light and dark, and of course, like all these journeys, this is the ultimate final battle. Like whoever wins, you know. And so there's like, oh, I don't know, like 13 or 14 books, and they're just really, really long. They were started by a guy named Robert Jordan, and he wrote the first 10, and then he died. And when he died, his characters were everywhere. There was no end in sight.
And somebody's picked it up. Yeah, and
it's like, what is happening?
But why did you die?
Yes. Why didn't you live longer? But basically he had noted out what he wanted to do, and his notes were so good that they were able to, his wife, who was his editor, gave these notes to Brandon Sanderson, and Brandon Sanderson there was able to put together 3 books to close the series. And you can tell there's some writing differences between Robert Jordan and Brandon Sanderson, but the notes were so complete that it's very minor. So
my favorite television show of all time is The West Wing.
Yeah.
I've said that 100 times.
Right.
And Aaron Sorkin wrote the first 4 seasons.
Right.
And then John Wells comes in and directs the last several seasons. And Aaron Sorkin wrote and directed-ish, like, ran the show. But there's a huge, like, people can tell a big difference between the first 4 seasons and the last 3 seasons. And so I kind of get to what you're saying. Mm. But did you know in October, Amazon put out that they're planning on putting a TV series based around Wheel of Time?
Yes, and I'm super excited about that. So Wheel of Time, you know, that I'm thinking a little bit. It's sort of similar to Games of Thronesy with the number of cast and everywhere they have to go.
Okay.
It's sort of in that world where there's magic and there's knights, and I don't know. I'm so excited.
Awesome.
You know, and I just want it to be done well, I guess is my biggest thing.
Yes. So. Any new edu heroes since the last time we talked? Anybody exciting you out in the edu world?
I can't say that I've had anybody that's come out of left field that really is knocking me for a loop. I will say that the Mindshift EDU folks on the Twitter, KQED, I find myself very intrigued by what they're sharing.
Okay.
And so let me see if I can find a... I know I've tweeted recently from them because they show up in my educator feed. I think it's Mindshift KQED or Mindshift EDU.
KQED, yeah.
Yeah, KQED. Yeah. Okay. It comes from somewhere out in West Coasty, but...
Northern California.
Yeah, I think some of the ideas they're sharing are just super fascinating. So.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So much for your time.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
I know you're a super busy guy, and we never get to talk, so
no, never,
it's
ever.
Always great to... You're
only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.